The following production is brought to you by the Talkin' Buds Leaf Show.
Talkin' Buds Leaf Show, off-season edition. This is as remote as it gets. Neither one of us is in the Talkin' Buds studio, but we move heaven and earth to find a way to get online, even if it's remote, because we have to discuss the Maple Leafs formally introducing Brad Treliving as the team's 18th general manager in team history. Before I go, I've got a million things I want to say about Brad Treliving, about Kyle Dubas, about all kinds of things. But before we get into any of that, I want to hear from you, your thoughts on the Brad Treliving hire.
I'd say like I'm kind of indifferent about it in a way. Obviously, if you listen to the last pod, I wanted Dubas gone. That happened. So that made me happy. And then right off the get-go, it was like, this guy's coming in. And I mean, at that point, it's almost like right away he was coming in and there was just no other thought of anybody else. Not that I had a better idea for anyone else, really. Overall, just a guy who is, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of indifferent about it, to be honest with you. I don't have a strong opinion about it. He seems like a really good dude, really like the guy, but it's not someone I'm like super, super stoked about. Just kind of wait and see.
I understand that, and that is how I initially felt off the top as well, because the biggest takeaway that I personally have had in these last couple of weeks since Kyle Dubas was let go is this is Brendan Shanahan's hockey team. Like, without question, he's the one who's running the show. All major decisions within the organization, whether that be external or hockey operations, are going to go through him. He essentially is the general manager of this hockey team. That is how I'm viewing it. So Treliving was the favorite right from the moment Dubas was let go. He was the favorite, and he was the one that everyone was sort of pointing at, being like, this is the guy. We saw some crazy names in the last couple of weeks, like Mark Bergevin and Peter Chiarelli, and it was like, no. We also saw some other names like a Doug Armstrong or a Jim Nill or George McPhee. But again, it brings me back to my point about Brendan Shanahan. It's like Doug Armstrong runs the show in St. Louis. Like he runs the St. Louis Blues. Why is he going to leave that position to come and report to Brendan Shanahan? Like it doesn't make sense. It makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, I'd love to know just like everything that Shanny's been involved with over the whole Dubas era in a way. Like, well, I mean, it seems like, yeah, he runs the team, but like, it's just, you just don't get any good indication on how far that goes.
Well, I want to hold on Dubas for a minute because we have a big Kyle Dubas story from today we're going to talk about as well, but let's talk about Brad Treliving. So they formally introduced him today. And I have to say, I was pretty impressed listening to him talk. Like I thought he had a really kind of laid back, relaxed attitude in dealing with the media. Right away, I found him much better at dealing with the Toronto media than Kyle Dubas ever was. Like, I thought Kyle Dubas always came off kind of nervous and spoke.
He was just over the top with the whole name dropping.
Oh, he was doing that today in Pittsburgh.
Like, yeah, I know. I heard it. It's just like, there's like things you're taught in business class that like, yeah, they're good things, but like, it's like he's still in his like business class.
Yeah.
Being
yeah.
Like,
that's what I mean. There's like a maturity. Yeah. And like, he's like, there's a
great nickname too.
Tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He takes that. Kyle Dubas, I find, takes himself very seriously, where like Treliving today kind of had some like dad jokes going early and was like I said, I found him to be really relaxed dealing with the media. He had a couple quotes today that I thought were really, really good. Like he said, he basically outright said that he hates the term the core four, and he doesn't want to hear the words core. You're happy about this. He doesn't want to hear the words core four anymore. It's the Toronto Maple Leafs, and that's that. He also said that, like, you know, he sort of walked away at the end of the season from Calgary, and then his family, when they were deciding whether they should take this job, he said, you know, it's the Leafs. And he's like, it's the Toronto Maple Leafs. That means something. And right away, I was like, I hope that that's something that he brings. Brad Street Living has his work cut out for him here, man. Like, I think the dude is more than capable of doing the job. But when I look at him, it's like, do you know what you've just gotten yourself into? Like, you've gotten yourself into a culture here of players who, we talked about it in our last episode. This is a very blasé team with core guys who, I'm not going to say for all of them, but there's a few of them that we pointed out last episode who, after game five against Florida, were very like, oh, you know, we'll be back next year and we're just going to keep trying. And it's just blasé is the word that I'm choosing here. And I think he's going to realize pretty quickly when he gets in there that, like, this is a culture here that I think Kyle Dubas helped foster. It's very like,
not cool.
Yeah. Like, I don't love it. Like, I don't love it. Like, no, it's like, it's, there's no like basically what he said today, it's the Toronto Maple Leafs. That means something. It's like, I don't know if I think the star players here feel that in the way they're treated as like celebrities in the city and how much money the organization has and how well they take care of them sense. But do Austin Matthews and William Nylander and Mitch Marner realize what that means from like a, what it means to put the sweater on perspective? And I know that's super corny, but like, that's just something that I feel like has been missing in this Kyle Dubas era that I hope he brings.
I think he's just in a really tough spot. Like, I think when Dubas first left, like, you were picturing someone coming in, like, almost to an extreme and just like kind of coming in and just like giving it a whole facelift. But as you've said before, it's just like, as long as dude, Brendan Shanahan's here, that's not going to happen.
Oh, dude, that's another thing. Kiss the facelift goodbye. That ain't happening.
No, God, no.
No,
so it's just like, happening. Honestly, he just brought in a guy who seems like a really nice guy. He's not as lame. He's a little more laid back. He's got a good reputation. But when it comes to the hockey team, it's kind of more the same. Like, you know, it's just like today, like he said it on every show, every interview he did. He's like, well, we have like world-class talented players here. And look where they were drafted. And it's up to us to like supplement the talent around them. And it's just kind of like, yeah, we've been trying to do that, man. And
his first order of business, like, is getting on a bird to go to Arizona to talk to Matthews about his contract extension.
Yeah.
Which is like, you got to do that. Right. So like, that's been my biggest takeaway. I'm glad you hit on that. I think when the season ended, we all sat here and said, oh, they're breaking up this core. Bye-bye, Sheldon, like all that stuff. I don't think any of that's happening. I think...
But Rob, you also have to recognize, like, too, like, it's not like, it's not, you can't just snap your fingers and make a massive trade, you know? Like, this isn't like something that you can just like do overnight. Like, it's, I think in hiring Tree Living, even though like he's dealt with a situation like almost like he's getting into right now, where like a couple star players made it difficult and he had to move on, and not saying he has to do that here, but it's just, I mean, like, I don't know, man. Like, it's just, he's in a really tough spot. It's hard to make, like, what do people expect? Like, it's hard to make a trade. Like, there's so many factors. Like Matthews has 1 year left on his deal. Like, what trade are you going to get for that? You know,
well,
like,
I don't think
unless he goes to the LA, like, you know what I mean? It's so, I mean, I hear a lot of people talking about trade this guy, trade that guy. And yeah, I'm the first guy to admit, like, I'd like some change, but I also can acknowledge that it's not easy to just like snap your fingers and make, make a deal that's going to work for you and another team and a deal that you're going to win. Like, it's just so like a part of it running it back is like not almost like, oh, we believe in these guys. It's just like, if you can't make the right move at the end of the day, if you're really looking at it in that way, then like, you know, like that's going to take time. It's not something you can just figure out.
Well, and he said something today. He was on with Kipper and Bourne, and he said a couple of things on Kipper and Bourne that stood out to me. And one of them is, you know, we're so close to this team and these core guys, and we're really emotional about it. And when they lose in the playoffs the way they do every year, we're so mad at them. And he just said today, he's like, be careful moving off star players. Like, you don't just get those guys. Like, you're not going to trade a star player and bring in another star player. It doesn't necessarily work like that. And that's not to say, to your point, that he's not going to trade them, but it's not something that you just snap your fingers and send a guy of Auston Matthews, William Nylander, Mitch Marner's elk out the door. Like, you just don't do it.
Like, realistically, when people talk about trade, they're talking about Nylander or Marner.
Yeah.
But it's just like it's not something that you can just like do very quickly. Like, I'm just really pissed off at the way these guys are performed. So I want to see some change, but I'm also a normal human being who kind of understands that, like, it's not just, this isn't Chell. Like, you can't just turn force trades on and make some goat trade. Like, it's like, you know, like it's, and now a new guy's coming in here who evaluates talent a little differently than what we're used to. And maybe he sees something different than what we see. And he thinks that if he does this, this, and this, that he can get them over the hump.
See, so that is something that I'm coming around on that. They have $20 million in cap space. If you want to give Bradtree Living a year with these guys, well, first of all, a year to try and sign Auston Matthews to a contract extension, because that is without question the undisputed priority for the organization. If you want to give him a year and with that cap space to try and supplement this team with talent that Bradtree Living likes, aka not Alex Kerfoot, not Justin Hall.
Yeah, like if you look at the Calgary team, like they're always like kind of tough, you know, like they weren't
the thing that I thought about you when they hired him is he's a guy who knows how to build like a big nasty blue line.
Oh, and yeah,
like, you've been clamoring for.
I mean, there's so many things to think about with this. Like, if everything goes well and guys get re-signed, blah, blah, blah. Like, there's so many things I want to do. But then today, it's like the forefront of the conversation is taking the bird out to Arizona.
Yeah.
And we got to get him signed. But, like in my brain all day, it's like, do you really want to just absolutely shoot your foot and just sign this guy to a 15-year deal?
Well, I
think, you know, like that's like, to me, it's like, yeah, we have this franchise player. We've talked about it year after year. And if he leaves this, it's going to suck. But at the same time, it's like, we really going to just absolutely carve our chances of having any other good hockey players.
Well, I think this guy's a negotiation
progressive hockey player. Like, he needs his money. Like, you're not good making 12 and a half. You need 15. Like, you're not that good, man. Like, I'm sorry. Well, like,
I think that's part of the negotiation, Ryan. I think one of the reasons why it's so urgent is because you got to get out there and you got to see what he wants. And if that is part of his demands, listen, I'm okay with paying Auston Matthews. Like, I was listening to, who was I listening to this morning? I think it was Justin Bourne talk about, it's like when you pay a guy, it's like a percentage of what the salary cap will be, right? So if you're looking at, if you're going to sign Auston Matthews to a 5-year extension and you're looking at where the salary cap is going to go in 5 years, and you determine that paying him $14 million based on that is fair market value, then okay.
They already did that. It didn't work.
But if he sits there and starts saying, like, you know, I want 15, 14 and a half, 15. Oh, and also I want to play with Mitch Marner. Oh, and also I want, that's when you've got to kind of, like, I think that part of it, that is just as big of a piece of this negotiation as anything else is. Yes, we want to pay you. We want you to stay, but we also want, like, we also want you to help us build a competitive team. And even though you're a star player and we value you, you don't get to decide whether we want to keep Mitch Marner or not. You don't get to decide whether we want to keep William Nylander or not. And that's all part and parcel of these discussions that are going to happen with him. And if they go there and they get an inkling, the main priority here, Ryan, is that this guy doesn't walk on July 1st for nothing. Or yeah, next season for nothing. That is the main priority here. Like, without question, you need to figure that out. And if you can't come to an agreement with him, then you need to try and move him for something, because that's the thing.
Well, then you better find the team that he wants to sign with and trade to that team. Like, it's like they're kind of screwed, man. Like, I know you don't want them to walk for nothing. Like, I guess if there's a good market in the hunt around the deadline, then yeah, that you could use them as a rental. But like, if there's a team that has a good idea that they think they can sign him, why are you trading for him? Like, they're kind of screwed either way. Well, like, I think Bourne was talking about that too. It's like, they have no, like, what leverage do they have in a trade for Austin Matthews other than a team that is like a big market that's on a cup run that needs a guy? Like, other than that, they've absolutely no leverage in the trade market with Austin Matthews. Zero. Because why would the LA Kings trade for Austin Matthews if they think they could just sign him?
Like, yeah, it's a pickle, man. Like, the Matthews situation is a massive pickle, and that's why today, right out of the gate, that was the first question.
They're gonna have to bend over. Like, that's basically all they can do, man. Like, if this guy is going to demand whatever he wants, if they want him that bad, they're gonna do it, man, because they're screwed.
Yeah,
they were screwed the day they signed this guy to a 5-year deal. Like, it was just,
well, who signed him to that 5-year deal?
Yeah, some
Mr. Pittsburgh Penguin.
Good luck over there.
Jeez. Yeah, I know. So what do you think of the Sheldon Keefe thing? Like, it sounds like they're going to keep Sheldon Keefe. And if you look at Tree Living's track record, when he showed up in Calgary, Bob Hartley was already in place as the coach.
Bob Hartley. That was a name that he brought up. Like, Bob Hartley.
Yeah, I know. Like, he was already in place, and they kept him for 2 more years. Right when I heard that, again, my instinctive reaction was like, oh, my God. Like, how do you bring, like, at least if you're going to run back the core four, at least change the coach. Like, at least get
change the coach, man. I am not about this at all. Like, I am not.
So here, let me, I'm not either. But what do you think of this point that Kiprios keeps making about how maybe now with Kyle Dubas out of the picture, Sheldon will be able to exercise more of who he really is? Like when you think about last year when he criticized the star players and then walked it back, we all speculated that it was Dubas that told him to do that. And I talked earlier about this culture that Dubas has fostered, this sort of blasé culture, people commenting to Jonas Siegel that they're in mourning after the guy gets let go. Like, it's just, he created this like soft culture. And so what do you think of this narrative that Kipper has been talking about, where it's like, maybe, like, could Sheldon maybe be a little bit different and be a little more ballsy, I guess, when it comes to holding these guys accountable now that Dubas isn't sort of over his shoulder?
Rob, let me ask you a question. I'm not going to say where you've worked for, like, how long have you been at your job?
A very long time.
And I know you're not going into the office every day, but say it was like before COVID, you're going to the office every day. Mm-hmm. You get to know all the people that you work with. You see them every day. You develop a certain relationship with them because you see them every day. What if you got a new boss at your job? And then you just decided to show up the next day and just be a different person. Like, never happen.
Yeah,
like, it's just, like, I'm sorry. He knows this. He's been around this group too long now. And all that stuff about whatever that's gone on. It's just, you can't change, man. You can't. Like, it's too far. Like, what is he going to do? Come in with a new message because he's got a new boss now, and now he's now he doesn't have to walk back his star play. Like, it's too far gone. Get rid of him.
Yeah, and that's, I hate that's part stupid of the thing culture
where it's like, oh, well, you don't want to waste one of your coach firings right off the bat. It's like, that's just a stupid media made up stupid thing. Like, it's just, I don't know. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, like, Brad seems like a good dude. He's not going to just fire a guy because he's not his guy. He's obviously going to give him a chance, and I respect that. But
as listen, a Leaf fan, to be clear, dude, I'm with you. Like, I think bringing Sheldon Keefe's a bad idea. Like, I think, it, again, it's all part and parcel with the culture change. Like True Living was saying today, he was talking about, like, you know, how you win in the playoffs. And, like, you was talking about checking and how you've got to be able to take the fight to your opponent. And I'm like, dude, have you watched these guys? Like, that is not how these guys play.
I don't know. I could be wrong, though. Like, if Kipper believes that and, like, it could happen, man. Like, I don't know.
He's plugged in and he seems to think that being out from under Kyle Dubas might not be the worst thing for Sheldon Keefe.
Like, at the end of the day,
you're right. There's an existing relationship there.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. Like, would you like, just picture being one of those guys, you know, it's like all of a sudden you're just going to see his new attitude and be like, well, kind of like this guy. It's like, no, you remember 2 years ago when he was a complete idiot. So, like, you know, it's just
hate him even more.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, now you're Mr. Tough Guy because Kyle's gone. Like, I'd be like in the dressing room, like, this guy's a loser. Like, now he's going to try to scold me or something. Like, no. These players have, to me, these players have like walked over him, and it's just like too far gone in that sense. Like, I don't know, really don't know the dynamic, but that's just what it looks like from the outside. And I wouldn't mind bringing in someone who has a little respect. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Not somebody's going to come in and ream people out, but just someone who has a little bit more respect on their name. You know,
well, it's kind of like what you were saying about True Living off the top. It's like you notice like a sense of maturity with him that like Dubas didn't really have, and it's like
it wasn't what just you're like, well, John, good question. Like, it's like when you learn that Brock University, like what do you like wherever the hell you went?
Oh yeah, man. He's so we'll talk about him in a minute, but. All in all, here's what I'm going to say about Brad True Living. I thought he was really impressive today. I thought he handled the media with way more like relaxation than Kyle Dubas ever did. I'm going to give him a chance. He's shown a really great drafting record in Calgary. He's shown an ability to build a big, strong, tough defense in Calgary. Like, those are mean Daryl Sutter hockey teams they had out there, right? So if he's got a lot of cap space to work with, like, I'm willing to let him try and surround these guys with other hockey players that he thinks are a good fit. But I also look at him and I say, like, you're in for a rude awakening when you see this sort of environment that Kyle Dubas left behind. And I want to make it clear, when I say environment, like, by all intents and purposes, Kyle Dubas is a really good dude and people liked working for him. But I think there was a sense I could sense listening to the players talk that there's no sense of urgency here. There's no like everyone keeps commenting on our TikTok about the Shorzy line. They don't hate to lose. And it's like, that's exactly how you describe these guys. And I think that's an environment that Kyle Dubas cultivated here.
Yeah.
And so also,
one thing I will say about today too quickly is I liked how he handled the Matthew Tkachuk question, because I thought that was so unfair to like criticize him for that. Like, anybody who was doing that was just like actively trying to find an excuse to hate this guy.
Yeah.
And I thought the way he explained it was exactly how it went down. Totally saw his side of it, and I just like how he shut that down right away, because anyone going after him for that was just a complete idiot. Just
well, it's okay, fine, then let's get into it. So not 5 minutes before the Leafs are set to go live with the press conference to introduce Brad True Living, the Pittsburgh Penguins announced that they've hired Kyle Dubas as president of hockey operations. That has also been heavily rumored for a few weeks now. So there's a lot of pieces to this. I think the fact that that this is where he's at now is proof that he made a power play here to try and get Shanny out. I think that's what he really wanted here, is he did not want to report to Brendan Shanahan anymore. He wanted to run the show, and Shanny realized that and nipped it in the bud and got rid of him. We haven't talked about Brendan Shanahan at all on this. Well, so I guess let's not get off before we bring him up. Well, we did talk about him a bit off the top, I guess, but I didn't share.
What is there to really say, man? Like, I don't know.
Brendan Shanahan makes me nervous, dude. Like, he makes me nervous. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say he's an idiot, but like, he makes me nervous. Like, there's just, he's kind of like 1 foot in, 1 foot out with the hockey team. And like I said off the top, this is his hockey team. And like, he makes me nervous. I don't trust that he makes the best decisions. Like, Chris Johnson had the report last week that he phoned up the core four and said that, oh, we'd like to keep you. And like, I understand that, like, yes, you got to phone. There's a quote unquote crisis situation going on, so you're trying to calm everybody down. But what are you doing? Like, what the hell are you doing? And it was also reported that when he was interviewing the candidates, he was saying to them, well, you know, I like Sheldon Keefe. And it's like, I don't care that you like Sheldon Keefe.
What? I don't understand. Okay, are we going to Shanny or are we going to Dubas?
Let's do Shanny. We'll talk about Dubas in a second.
All right. I don't get how... Sure, I have the worst allergies of all time if I keep disappearing from the camera to blow my nose. So I... Excuse me for that. But I just don't get... I'm not the first person to say this. I'm not even the 10,000th person to say this. How somebody who could be arguably one of the most badass hockey players to ever lace him up of all time. And you look at a guy he won a couple cups with, who's become the greatest general manager, like, out of all former players. And it's just like all these years of just like the Shanna plan. And it's just like, why does this guy suck? Like,
yeah, know? I know. Like, I know. Like, it's and like cow and like cow. Like,
why are you such a
like,
pussy? Like,
yeah.
You know?
And like, it's yeah. Like, and like, I'm sitting here, like kind of blaming Dube, like putting this sort of like, oh shucks, we lost again culture on Kyle Dubas. But it's like, he reported to Brendan Shanahan. He allowed that to happen. And I just like, just hearing some of the stuff that Shanny's saying to the players, and then like during the interview, it's like, would you like get out of here, man? And like, it's very clear that Dubas did what he did as a way to like a last minute power play to try and get out from under Brendan Shanahan. That, and I think that their relationship like totally ran its course. And I like,
yeah, it's just like, that's the thing. It's like, you can, that's just, you don't get to see or hear Shanny talk enough to get like a good grasp on like what actually goes on with him on the day to day. There's the odd report, but like during the season, man, like how many times we bring up Brendan Shanahan? Like,
not
never
that many. Yeah.
Never, you know. So it's just like, I would love to get a behind the curtain peek of just like his day to day and like his meetings with like the board, and just like, you know, I would absolutely love to see that, because right now he just looks like an idiot. Like, he just doesn't seem very likable, and he seems kind of weird and kind of like a little bitch. Like, you know, it's just like, I don't know. But at the same time, it's like, I also remember when he laced him up, but he was like the coolest, baddest hockey player to play like one of the best wingers I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, it's
I don't know. So he makes me nervous. And so it's clear that the relationship with him and Dubas soured. And now Dubas is the president of hockey ops. Like I said earlier, they announced that literally 5 minutes before the Tree Living press conference today. And I sat here on this pod with you all year, and I said, I like Kyle Dubas. I want him to stay. I don't see anyone out there who's a better fit. He's been here long enough. Let him keep going. Let him keep building. And I haven't changed my opinion on how I think about Kyle as a guy. I think he's a really nice guy, and it's very clear that people loved working for him. And I wish him all the best in that sense in Pittsburgh. But you know what, man? I've been pretty sickened by what I've seen from some of the media members in this city since he got let go. There are people who are in the media, some who work for the two big networks and some who work for other publications, who are literally crying and pining for this man and are so upset that he's gone. And are just, and I thought that Justin Bourne last week, when Jonas Siegel put out the story about someone who works at MLSE who said they were in mourning, which is something you do when somebody dies, that Kyle Dubas had been let go. Justin Bourne was like, Kyle Dubas is so much more than a hockey executive to some people. He's like a proxy for so many things. And I thought that was the perfect way to sum it up. Like, there are people, I'm not going to begrudge fans. Fans are fans. You're supposed to be emotional when you're a fan. You're supposed to be over the top when you're a fan. So if you're a fan and you're upset, you do you. But it's like, there are media members who have literally tied their identity to this guy and just his philosophy, and that he's young, and that like it means so much to them that he was the GM of the Maple Leafs. And I've just seen enough over the last couple of weeks. This is a really long-winded way of saying I'm kind of glad he's gone now. Like, I think everybody needs to move on. Everybody needs to let go. If you're a Kyle Dubas fan, be a Kyle Dubas fan. Go follow his career. He's got the big chair with the Pittsburgh Penguins now. Like,
good luck.
Go follow him. Go cheer him on, whatever. But, man, I'm legitimately pretty icked out by what I've seen from some of the media members here. Embarrassing.
I think they were all on the payroll, man. Like I honestly, like, there's the people who, like, yeah, I get what they're saying. I was just like, just the guy who's like, you know, like, he represents something, but I don't know, man. Like, after seeing like how sneaky he was and a couple other stories coming out, wouldn't be surprised if he had like a relationship with a lot of these dudes.
Yes.
I remember the day that Shady came out and did the play-by-play, Doug McLean came on Kipper and Bourne and was like talking about how Dubas like asked him for like a meeting, and he went with who'd he go with? He went with someone jokes. I can't remember who it was. I think it was the color guy.
Jim Ralph?
No. Ralphie? No, no. TV.
Greg Millen?
Yeah, Greg Millen, I think. but I don't know. Like, I'm starting to think that like all these like Jonas Siegel dudes, they were all on the payroll, and they all had a relationship with him. And
well, they're all so upset that he's gone. And it's just like, guys, like, you gotta move on here. It's like, people get fired in this league every day. And it's like, it's just like, listen, the situation was unfortunate. It's like, Shanny basically said, we wanted to extend Kyle. The relationship, the relationship between Brendan Shanahan and Kyle Dubas had clearly soured. Shanny wanted to extend him. Kyle was like, okay, I'll stay, but I want more money, and I basically don't want to report to you anymore. And Shanny was like, well, I'm still the president of the hockey operations, so you're gone. And like, is it an unfortunate situation? Yes. I'm sure if the two of them could go back in time, they might have done it a little differently. But it happened. Let's move on with our lives and stop publicly crying about this guy leaving. It's just, I can't believe it, man. It's unbelievable.
You know what, Rob? That's pretty ungrateful of Kyle Dubas, because he would be nowhere without Brendan Shanahan.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
We said that last time. I think he got a little too big for his britches.
Like, it's like, yeah, I'm sure he's a really smart guy and he would have made it somewhere, but to be handpicked to be the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs with no experience. Like, if he's really like that, then that's just what an ungrateful little bastard.
And he also, like, again, I've the theme of this episode is me talking about this sort of like tissue soft environment that I'm sort of observing from the outside. And like, I just feel like part of his thing too was, you know, it was hard on me. It was hard on my family. It was hard on like I want to be compensated for how hard it was. It's hard being the GM here. It's like, yes, it is hard being the GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, this is, it's as Brad True Living said today, it's the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, this is the premier franchise. And some idiot's going to write in our comments here and be like, oh, the Leafs, the premier franchise. It's like, because they're the Maple Leafs. They make the most money of any team in the league. It's supposed to be hard. Like, it's and the reason why it's so hard is because if you're the one to finally get this team over the hump, you will be a god forever. Like, if you,
which we've been saying for like, how long
but has that been alive? Don't even need to get this team over the hump. Look down Legends Row out front of the arena and show me how many of those guys have cups. Not many. All you need to do is win a few rounds and they'll put a statue of you out front of the
city. If you lose one, you got to try hard doing it.
Yes. Yes. So that's what I mean, is it's just like, I just think it's good for everyone that he's gone. Like, go to Pittsburgh, have a fresh start. You're going in there with, you're literally going in there with, in my opinion, one of the greatest winners this game has ever seen, who's in the back nine of his career, and you're going to try and squeeze one more cup run out of him. And Mike Sullivan, who I think is one of the best coaches in the league. So go and, like, do your thing. Good luck. Best of luck. Brad True Living's here now. This is Brad True Living, who's going to be working with Brendan Shanahan. And listen, if this season doesn't go well, if the Leafs go out this year and they flame out, if they get eliminated in the first round again, if they don't make the playoffs, whatever, guess who the finger's going to be pointed at? Not Brad True Living. Brendan Shanahan.
Yeah, I just, I mean, in that way, you kind of feel bad for Tree Living. It's just like, at the same time, dude, it's like, you just got brought in, and I'm sure like he signed a nice little deal or whatever, but it's like you're almost working for like the term lame duck for this franchise. Is just like, you're working for kind of a lame duck president right now, unless they do something. Like,
but that's the thing that about Brendan Shanahan that I don't understand, Ryan, is it's like, dude, like, you're out of bullets. Like, this is your third GM, and if you fire Sheldon, it'll be your third coach. Like, why do you want to walk it back with the same team and the same guys that have let you down year after year? Like, why?
Rob,
why
it's hard to make the playoffs, and it's hard to find top talent.
Why? Like, that's basically what I heard today, man. Why can't we change the coach?
Because
why can't
he taught good players how to check.
Well, that's just True Living. Well, I mean,
yeah, but that's all I heard today.
I know, but he hasn't even sat down. I'm not going to blame True Living for that.
No, I'm not. It's just like, I mean, he got his messaging. It's not like he came up with everything by himself. Like, at the end of the day, he's a good guy. Like, he's going to listen to his higher ups on the messaging. But like, all he heard today was just like, yeah, like, we have a lot of great talent here, and there's luck in the playoffs, and I thought they were better against Tampa when they lost, and they were worse when they won. So it's just like, there was a lot of just like, it's like almost the same messaging as like Kyle in years past. It's just, now it's a fresh face, and it's kind of like, it's almost like they're trying to like brainwash you into being like, oh yeah, like, maybe like, it's not so bad, like, making the playoffs every year. Like, you know, it's just like, to me, that's what it was. Like, and I'm not saying anything bad about anybody, but that's kind of what I felt at the end of the day. It was just like the same message, but since it was coming from a new source and from a different perspective, like, some people are going to buy it and some people aren't. Like, it's just, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we will see what happens. So just to put a bow on this, I was pleasantly surprised with Brad True Living today. I think we should all give the guy a chance. I think it's a good thing for everyone involved, especially these emotional members in the media, that Kyle Dubas has moved on and is now like, and if you're so upset about it, buy a ticket and fly down to Pittsburgh and cover the Penguins. Like, as far as I'm concerned,
I'm so happy he went there and not, like, all those Ottawa rumors were kind of making me nervous, because I think that They're kind of like the Baltimore Orioles of like the NHL, yeah, in my opinion.
Like they're going to be good.
I mean, I think they're going to be a great hockey team and make some noise. And instead, he goes to Pittsburgh, who are kind of in like a similar, like borderline worse situation.
Oh no, it's worse, dude. Like his mandate is going to be, you've got to try and squeeze one more cup. You've probably got another 2 years to try and squeeze one more cup out of Crosby and Malkin and Letang.
I love Sid. He's got us three, but dude, that is not happening.
Yeah. And then it's scorched earth, Ryan. It's scorched earth rebuild time in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, like it's, I mean, I'm happy he went there because it's kind of like, honestly, man, that situation kind of blows. Like,
I think the ownership situation and how like it hasn't really been solved yet in Ottawa is probably the fact that Pittsburgh is owned by the Fenway Sports Group, who for some reason see Kyle Dubas as like hockey's Theo Epstein, even though Kyle Dubas has never won anything.
And well, again, he's like, he's sick. Look who he's replacing.
Oh yeah.
Like it's like, you know, like some teams are looking for
a radical change.
Like he's replacing the oldest dino in the league, man. Yeah. Like, so they were like, screw the old dino who was tough to work with. Let's bring in Mr. I'm going to make a great first impression and show everybody how smart I am because I went to Brock University. And that, like, you know,
that's actually a great question, Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's just
what university,
who's going to just be a guy who's just going to be basically just a little bitch. Like, you know,
Kyle Dubas did go to Brock University. Did you look that up?
I just remember I used to go visit my buddies at Brock all the time, and like their business program, they have like a very highly touted like business program or sports management program or something. And his face was always just like, I just always saw him there.
Yeah.
Shout out to Brock University. Nothing against you. I love you. I just think it's sometimes his business training is just like, dude, you graduated a couple of years ago, buddy. Like, it's time to like kind of move on from like the stuff you learned.
Yeah, he did it well. He started doing that again today in Pittsburgh. So anyways, we threw this together today because we needed to get on and comment on this. So our summer schedule is going to be the same as it's always been. When there's some actual real news to talk about, we will be on shortly after to talk about it. I wonder if they sign any extensions, if they make any big trades, free agent signings. Well,
they got to fill out the roster.
Yeah, like, they do got to fill out the roster.
Who's playing for them this year?
Yep, not Justin Hall. Justin Hall said the other day that he's ready to come back.
You know what I want to see Brad do, other than, let's forget about the core four for a second, even though obviously it's a big factor and the money they're going to have. Let's go out and get some guys who can skate. Like, and you know what? I will say, like, the teams that lost to the Bruins, like those, like Kasperi Kapanen, Andreas Janssen Leafs, like, yeah, they were all pussies, but like they could skate. I thought one thing that really stuck out this playoff was, even though they got quote unquote tougher and other different players, they kind of lost their identity with speed. It's like, can we just upgrade the back end and just get a little more speed back into this lineup, please?
Well, I mean, when you look at like I said to you earlier, if you look at Brad Treliving's history, he knows how to build a big, mean, nasty defense core.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you. Who do you like in the Stanley Cup final?
Well, I'm going to be in Vegas for game two.
I know.
Even though we looked at the prices for the tickets, and it's a little...
Well, what you should do is wait for until like right up close to the start of the game.
Yeah, and... you know, I don't hitch. Like, I'm not that guy.
No.
I like knowing what I'm doing. I'm not going to just like hope for something to happen. But I don't know. It's going to be cool to see like the outside environment of Vegas while they're playing a home.
You should
Stanley
definitely
Cup
wander.
Game.
You should definitely wander down by the arena.
Yeah, exactly. Like just seeing like the whole vibe around, like, cause I mean, if you were in any Canadian city while they were in the Stanley Cup final, walking around downtown, even though Vegas is obviously a little bit different, but it's just gonna be kind of cool to see what the whole vibe is. If there's any vibe really, or even just walking into like a, like just maybe throw it out a little bet ski somewhere, you know, like,
well, mutual friend of ours was in Vegas a couple weeks ago when the series was starting against Dallas. And he was like, this city is Golden Knights crazy. It's
nice.
Golden Knights everywhere.
Nice. Yeah, that's cool.
I'm going to take the Florida Panthers in 7 games.
I'm going to take the Florida Panthers in 5 games.
Whoa. Hey now. Yeah. Hey now. I think the Vegas Golden Knights are a big, mean, nasty Western Conference hockey team. But I think the Florida Panthers are much faster.
I think they're just destiny at this point for me.
I think they are much faster. They have guys who are not afraid of the big, mean, nastiness of the Golden Knights in Matthew Tkachuk, Sam Bennett, the list goes on. And they have a goaltender who is been out of his mind since the end of the Bruins series.
Yeah, just, man, like you beat the Leafs in 5, you sweep the Hurricanes, who, like, the Hurricanes played very well. And like Rod Brindamore's quotes after that series was like a little like, the hell are you talking about? But like, you watch and you look at the stats of those games, like the Hurricanes played pretty well. And it's just like, I don't know what this Florida team just coming back to beat the Bruins. It's just, and their goaltending, like, it's just, I don't know. They seem like the team of destiny right now.
Yeah. All right, buddy. We're going to get out of here. As I was saying earlier, when there's real tangible Leaf news to talk about, we will be back not shortly after. And why is that, Ryan?
We don't deal in hypotheticals.
No, we do not deal in hypotheicals. So if you want
to, we might have to this year though, man.
Yeah. If you want to get our take on the happenings of the offseason, hit the like and subscribe button below. Also hit the like and subscribe button below if you want to make sure you're ready to go for when the puck drops next season. We'll be right there at training camp all the way through, as we always are. Is this our first year doing the podcast when Kyle Dubas is not the general manager? No.
We started doing the podcast when Tavares got signed. Weather did it the year before, but I remember like right when Tavares kind of got signed. Like, I feel like we've been talking about John Tavares like the entire podcast.
Was that when did Lou move on? When did Lou Lamoriello leave?
Well, he was here for 15, 16, 17. Because we started in 2018, I think.
He was the GM of the Leafs for 3 years. And he took, so I think we had 1 year where we did this when Lou was the GM. And then after that, this has been the all Kyle Dubas Maple Leaf Talking Buds Leaf show.
Yeah.
So we're about to embark on this new Brad Tree Living journey. So as I said, hit the like and subscribe if you want to come with us. Thank you guys for checking us out. We'll see you next time.
Hi, I'm Connie Thiessen, the host of Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. We focus on Canada and the challenges facing Canadian radio and TV, as well as highlighting those moving the industry forward from podcasting and streaming to new broadcast tech. Check us out at BroadcastDialogue.com or your favorite podcast app.
I'm Matt Kundle, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent. Almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.